At this time in the United States, there is a lot of harvesting going on. My wife said to me yesterday, I bought some squash, butternut, and another type, acorn, as well as Brussels sprouts. I see pumpkins along the side of the road, and all kinds of things going on, potatoes and so on. So, a lot of harvesting going on. We're challenged sometimes because we look at our lives and we look at the conditions we're experiencing and we recognize that the harvests are not enough. And so that's what I want to talk about today, when the harvests are not enough. Because we tend to think of reaping and sowing and harvesting as being an activity of farmers and not for the rest of us, I'm going to change that context a little bit. We think of a farmer dealing with seeds and soil and equipment and watering and fertilizing and so on. And because of that, we tend not to apply this awareness to our own lives on a daily basis, our own lives in which we have thinking, feeling, and behaving. And I think it's those daily activities is really what produces our harvest. And I really think that we would be wise if we were to see them the same as sowing that the farmer does, growing potatoes or squash or pumpkins, in that they're growing a desired condition, a desired result. And if we'd look at our lives and we'd say, yeah, that's right. I want to grow desired results in my life. I have effects that I would like to be experiencing. I want to create desirable effects. I want to have a particular harvest. I'm very fond of the truth of existence as it's described by Christ in the Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth book. Talks about it primarily in letter one, but it referenced multiple times throughout the nine letters. And the first item in the truth of existence is about growth. Now, we look around and we look at a pumpkin and go, how does that happen? Well, first of all, it's divinely designed. It's designed into the seed. It's inherent. So that pumpkin is going to grow to be a pumpkin, not corn or not a cow. It has a certain consciousness. And I think a lot of growth is divinely designed, and it's automatic. For instance, we grow from a fertilized egg to an embryo to a fetus to a born infant to a child to a teenager to an adult. And we look at that and go, okay, didn't really try. It just kind of happened. That growth was basically automatic. And it will happen automatically unless we interfere with it or somebody else interferes with it. In many cases of growth, though, there are those groups that you could say that the divine consciousness orchestrates the process directly. Grass growing, you know, trees growing, that sort of thing. This automatically happens. Birds having babies, for instance. I noticed when I went outside earlier this morning with the dog, there was chirping. Sounded like an alarm signal of some bird. I couldn't see the bird, but it made me think that the bird was trying to distract me, which says that there maybe have been bird nest or babies around, even though it seems to me to be kind of late for that sort of thing, even in warm weather like Florida. And I noticed for the first time a nest in the tree right outside our back door, lanai. And I thought, oh, okay. So that growth that this bird and its family, if you will, have been experiencing is divinely directed. In other situations, though, human beings, and I suppose perhaps other living beings, can choose the direction of the flow of divine energy that goes into a certain activity that is going to produce a particular result, that is going to produce a particular harvest. Let's say I want to learn something in maybe a new language or a new skill like playing the piano or how to invest money, any one of those. I see these activities basically to me now as a human being as choices. I don't necessarily automatically grow to learn a new language. I have to make a decision to do that. The same with a piano or the same with investing money. That's something I would decide upon, and then I would direct my energy into that, my attention and my intention into that. And so we make these choices, and we want to grow these skills. And the degree to which we're going to grow the skill of learning a language, playing the piano, or investing money is, frankly, going to be directly related to the investment of energy, not only the quantity, but the, more importantly, the quality. That is, my effectiveness at any one of those skills and your effectiveness at any one of these skills is going to be determined to a large extent by the effectiveness that we have of directing high vibration energy into those activities. Here's what I mean. If I sat down at the piano and I love the idea of learning which key is which, where middle C is and so on, and I love the idea of practicing the piano, I would be directing more and more and higher vibrational energy into that activity. I'd be directing it into my mind, into my heart, into my hands, into my arms, and into whatever muscles and nerves that are necessary in order to play the piano effectively. If, however, I rejected the piano playing, I rejected the idea that I had to practice, I rejected that I had to spend time doing that, I would be stunting the growth of that ability to play the piano, and frankly, I think I would be doing some other damage by practicing this vibration of rejection and unhappiness as I fool around with these lower vibration feelings and thoughts and self-talk. I would be penetrating my own body and doing damage to other areas of my life. I say, wanting to opens up our channels and makes us more receptive to the energy that we need for growth. Having to, I have to, limits how open we can become, simply because we lose some of the freedom. As soon as we apply that phrasing to an activity, if I have to, that means the activity is in charge of me, I've lost some freedom, and now there's going to be some sort of resistance or rejection of that activity. And it's going to reduce my throughput. The feeling of should, which a lot of people have going on, that word should is recurring over and over in their heads, I think is limiting too. It starts to reduce the flow of energy. If you could think of that flow of energy as going through a pipeline or conduit, as we reduce the circumference of that, or we turn the knob to reduce this energy flow, the flow becomes less and less. What even shuts it down more? I don't want to, in its various form. It's too much trouble, you know, it's not valuable, there's no joy in it, and however else we phrase that and justify it, that I don't want to closes the flow of divine energy even more. The farmer who invests his energy, and energy I mean his mental energy, the way he thinks, his emotional energy, how he feels about these activities of farming, his physical energy, that is actually doing the work, you know, preparing the equipment and that sort of thing, getting ready in the winter for the spring planting, or in the summer for the fall planting, the seeds, the water, and all the other things, that all those forms of energetic investment that he is going to have to deal with, when he delivers that into his farming activity, he's going to be reaping a proportional harvest. It's the law. At the end of the growing season, what he harvests is going to be in some proportion to what he invested in it prior to the harvest season. And during that season, you know, it's kind of like a journey, right? I'm going to go on a journey from point A to point B. I'm only going to be happy when I get to point B, which is, that's not the approach anybody wants to take. And it's not the approach that the farmer takes. That farmer, at the end of a day of decent, hard, conscientious work, has already received a benefit. He's already reaping a harvest of good feelings. I did a good job today. I did a good job this morning, I did a good job this afternoon, that sort of thing. We all have that potential of accepting and taking in energy that sustains us. It is nutritional. It facilitates our growth. And I would say that if we can do that, that knowing that we're seeking to do a good job, we're seeking to be conscientious about it, we're seeking to learn and to become more effective at it, it all of that supports our growth by keeping our minds open and our hearts open. So now we're more receptive to this divine energy that is flowing to us and through us, and we are directing through our conscious choices. Walter Russell, and Walter Russell is somebody I refer to on a regular basis on these talks. Walter Russell was considered a modern-day Leonardo da Vinci in America. He was world-famous in 5, 6, or 7 different areas, even though he had very limited formal education. But Walter Russell, as a philosopher and a spiritually evolved person and a whole bunch of other things, was convinced that a balanced energy exchange is essential for success and happiness. If you don't have a balanced input of energy, you can't really expect a harvest or an output of any kind of significance. If you try to take in greater quantities than you invested, basically that's the expression of greed. What we would say is that's stealing, that's theft. And frankly, it's a reinforcement of our belief in scarcity. Oh, I can't invest energy. There's not enough energy. I don't have enough energy. I'm too tired. I'm too this. I'm too old, too young, too whatever. And we plant seeds of that vibration of scarcity or limitation. And then we have to wonder, I wonder what kind of harvest planting those seeds is liable to produce. And if we've got those feelings of greed and scarcity and fear of limitation and stuff, it's got to be evidence that we lack an understanding of how things are created. How do you know if your harvests are not enough? And who gets to decide if your harvest is enough or not? You and I each get to decide for ourselves if what we're harvesting is enough. Not everybody needs the same amount of stuff. Not everybody needs the same things. Not everybody needs the same energy patterns, the same experiences, the same reinforcement, the same encouragement, the same amount of nourishment in order to grow. I'm going to present a couple of ways to look at this that could be helpful. Let's look at the conditions that we're harvesting. Imagine that you're a farmer whose life work it is to grow what you want. Sound like life to you? Does to me. Our job is to grow what we want in our experiences. Well, got it? So you have the job of growing what you want your life to be. So here are some ways to organize this job. A couple of ideas. Number one, you have at least 12 different fields to plant in, take care of, and harvest from. 12. I use that number because it's convenient, but you could imagine this number being a smaller number, or you could imagine it being a larger number of fields in which you have to plant in, play with, grow, harvest from. I usually call these 12 areas the 12 worlds. But today, we're going to think of them as 12 fields that you and I and everyone has the right and the responsibility to work in. Now, of the 12 fields, not all of them are going to be of equal importance to each of us, depending on our age, our life situation, you know, somebody who's got 5 or 6 children all staying at home, you know, under the age of 12 or something, has got different priorities than older people. And we can also take a look at the current conditions that we're experiencing and our individual goals and desires. Those are all tending toward the unique, and that's the way it ought to be. So that means that some of these fields are going to be very, very important to us, and others of them less important, and maybe some of them not important at all. But that's an individual choice, and it's no big deal. But we just need to be able to recognize that we have these fields, and what we do in them is up to us. If we want to grow something in a certain field, we want a certain harvest, have at it. So here are the names of the fields: the spiritual field, the mental field, the emotional field, the physical field, the family field, the career field, the financial field, the social field, the leisure field, the community field, the political field, and the maintenance field. The two most important concepts to remember about this whole process is the amount of energy that we invest in a field will produce a corresponding quantity of harvest. Amount of energy that we invest in a field will produce a corresponding quantity of harvest. And number two, and perhaps more importantly, the quality of the energy invested in the field, the vibration of the energy that we direct into the field, the seeds we plant in the field determine the quality of our harvest. So, let me say this again in another way. The energy that we direct into each of these fields through our thinking, through our words, through our feelings, and our actions cause the harvest to be a certain size and quality. We determine the quantity and the quality of the harvest by our thinking, feeling, speaking, and activity. And if our harvests are not enough, we can change that by changing the vibrations that we are planting in the field, the care that we are giving to the field, the energy we are investing in the field. When the return on investment is insufficient, increase the quality of the investment. If you were to look at those 12 fields and examine the conditions in them as they are right now, you're going to have proof of these concepts. We reap what we sow. And you go, Okay. If you prioritize the 12 fields and put them in terms of the most important to you personally right now and evaluate it, and then obviously goes from most important down to least important, and you evaluated your thinking and your feeling and your speaking and your actions about that field, you would understand the work that's ahead of you. Now, some people will go, oh, wait a minute. I don't want to know about the work ahead. And the reason for that is because they think that if they have a lot of work ahead of them, they're going to take that fact as another reason to self-reject. It's like, oh, you know, I should have done more. I should have done, you know, I'm this old. I'm 20, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. And they're going to find fault with themselves. They're going to use that idea that the road ahead is another cause for them to self-reject. But that self-rejecting is like the farmer poisoning himself with the mistaken idea that if I poison myself, if I beat myself up, if I hurt myself, it's going to make me work faster and better. That's not true. That's not true. It damages us. It hinders us. It limits us. And it plants more weed seeds in our fields. Love makes things work better. We've known that for 2,000 years. I mean, that concept has been formalized for 2,000 years anyway. Hate makes things much worse, or makes things work not at all. You look at the places in the world today where the application of hate is being used as the primary interaction, the primary energy exchange, the primary seeds that are being planted, and you're not seeing good things. You are not seeing good things. So let's take a look at two or three fields. And let's start with the top one, spiritual. And frankly, that's how I remember these things. I raise my hand above my head and I think of the spiritual. And then I put my hand on my head and I think of mental. And then I think of the emotions. And then I'm touching my body, so I think of the physical. And now you've gotten the first four fields in mind, and you know how you can proceed from that point on. Then you go into family and career and so on, and career leads to finances, and you can then interaction with other people is a social field. In 5 minutes you can have these 12 worlds memorized and use them as a structure. So let's take a look at two or three of them, and I'm going to start, as I said, with spiritual. Do you dare go into that field? Is it dangerous? Will you have feelings of rejection if you do? Will you be rejected if you go into the field, if you connect to that field? This is dangerous territory. I can't really question. There are a lot of structure to that field that we've been told and sold that determines our relationship with it, unless we've revised it on our own. So you got the picture about our relationship with the spiritual field. Our thinking, feeling, speaking, and acting have got to be raised to a higher level, higher vibration. And this is how high? So that we experience relief when we go to the spiritual field. So there you are, sitting, standing, driving, whatever, and you got a second. When you think of the spiritual field, you think of the divine, then all of a sudden, you go, I got a sense of relief. So let me define the spiritual world for a second. Spiritual world really relates to the nature of spirit, things not tangible or material, the unseen. It's concerned with and affecting the soul, and it relates to God or the supreme creative force, however you label that, and it relates to consciousness. So when you connect to divine consciousness, I like that phrase from the book Christ Returns, but you can call it God, you can call it spirit, you can call it Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, supreme being, infinite intelligence. The name is not so important as the vibration, and it's not so important as then your ability to connect to it. And that's really the name of this game, is when you connect to that, do you feel a sense of relief? And you want to get to that point, because now all of a sudden you're accessing the energy that sustains all things. All things. All living things and all things that we believe to be inanimate are sustained by this energy in this field. Why do we deal with the spiritual right off the bat when somebody says, I'm starving? He's like, yep, I got it. But hold on a second. The reason we want to deal with our relationship with the spiritual field is because that's the foundation of all other relationships, all other fields. The way we behave and the results and the harvests we are going to get are largely dependent on our relationship with the spiritual field. If we see ourselves as a creation of this infinitely loving power, now that, as a farmer, is going to have a different attitude dealing in the mental or the emotional or the physical or the family or the career or the financial field, for sure. That's why it's so important, because if you can imagine these 12 fields, the foundational field is the spiritual, and the other things spring from that. If I were to design it, I would say, it's the one that's under the other fields. The other fields are obviously easier to observe because they're denser, they're more solid. So for human beings, we can perceive them with our five senses and we go, oh, well, they exist. It exists because I can see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, kick it. It's like, yeah, okay. If we can appreciate that the spiritual field is where we go to get energy that we direct into the rest of the fields and into the rest of the activities of our lives, we're going to be able to appreciate really, really quickly, you know what? it's important that I work on the spiritual field, because that's the source. I'm going to go to the source, get energy, and direct it into my other activities, playing the piano, or drawing, or creating children's books, or making a lot of money, or any other activity that we want to do in life. We've been taught, in a lot of cases, Sunday school, catechism, and if we still hold on to those beliefs that the spiritual field is basically a minefield filled with improvised explosive devices, IEDs, that go on in war territories like Iraq and Afghanistan, filled with booby traps or quicksand or pain and punishment, get new beliefs. Get new beliefs. They're not true. And if the God that you've been taught, that God is sitting up on a cloud just waiting to catch you for committing a sin, just keeping track of disobedience, and just eager to punish you for that with suffering. Suffering while you're alive, and hell when you die. Get a new God. Get a new God. That God is a superstition. It's a creation of a superstitious people. It's not true. You don't need to live according to a superstition that was created 2,500 or 3,000 years ago. That seems silly. We can get new thoughts. We can get new thoughts. And we have a right and a responsibility to think new thoughts. Let's see if I can make this situation dramatically clear. Consider which of these two ideas is true for you. Number one. You can only think thoughts of fear. You can only plant seeds of fear when you go into the spiritual field. Go, I'm walking on a tightrope, walking on a tightrope. Or, consider this, number two, you can think thoughts of love. You can think thoughts of being accepted and accepting. You can plant seeds of love and kindness and support, and you can believe in the truth of existence. Whenever you go to the spiritual field, I say, choose the second one. Let's talk about the physical field. That's a big deal for lots of people. I define it like this. It relates to the body as distinguished from the mind or the spirit. It is involving material things, our physical environment. It relates to matter and energy, and some of the sciences that deal with them, such as physics. So it is stuff that we can perceive with our five senses. What types of thoughts and feelings do you have toward your body? What words do you use when you talk to yourself and others about your body? These are the seeds that we've been planting for years, and we not only do we plant them, but then we direct more energy into them. We literally water them, fertilize them, nurture those seeds, even though they're producing pain for us. Like, yikes. One of the good things is that the physical field is one of the most obvious areas, because it will display the results of our self-acceptance or our self-rejection. And it's like, ooh, that's really very quick to demonstrate the way I'm thinking, the conditions in my life. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I'm thinking that the breakdown in the body is the symptom of our self-poisoning. Self-rejection is self-poisoning. We come apart at the seams because we're starting to separate. That vibration of separation is what affects cell-to-cell relationships. If we could hear the cells, it would like, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm trying to pull away. I'm trying to separate. Well, it's like, but yesterday we cooperated. Yeah, but the vibration of rejection is telling me to separate and to hunker down and not communicate and all kinds of nasty things. We start to separate from ourselves at every level. We can choose new thoughts. And this is where our connection to divine consciousness, the spiritual field, is so valuable to us. Because we can call forth thoughts of love and kindness, and we can plant them instead of what we've been doing all along that's resulted in unwanted conditions, unwanted harvests, really skimpy harvest of good, and maybe abundant harvest of not so good. we can call forth what we want, the energy from the spiritual field, and we can direct it into the other fields, into more positive thoughts and feelings and words and actions that are going to result in what we want as harvests in these other fields. The third field I want to touch upon is the financial field. Let me define that. This field is related to finances, income, assets, liabilities, property, debts, credit cards, budgets, spending money, saving money, investing money, and so on. This is how we do banking, pay bills, and overall our relationship with money. So, the reason I'm going to deal with that as the third one is because that's the other area that is so problematic for so many people. And the reason is because there are so many misunderstandings about money. So most people are like, I got to stay away from this. This is a booby trap. It's a snake that's going to bite me. I'm confused. I'm frightened by it. Yeah, yeah. That, a lot of people stay out of that field almost entirely because they haven't got a clue. If we thought of money, and there are lots and lots of ways to think about money, but really, if you had a choice, what you want to do is see money as an expression of love. If you can see it as an expression of love and really get that down, have that penetrate the body, now all of, and mind and the heart, now all of a sudden the relationship would shift. So here's an image. If we thought of money as a flowing stream of energy, kind of like a stream of water that's flowing, that's different than thinking of money as a block of gold bullion, for instance. And if we think of it as a flow of energy, something moving to us and through us, then we would go, this is starting to make a little bit more sense, and we'd be further ahead because this energy is a movement. It's not a solid thing that sits on a ground or on a desk or in a safety deposit box. Money is the flow of energy of trust and value, and both trust and value are subjective in that they both parties in a money exchange get to decide on the level of trust, how much is there, and the value, how much is there present in that exchange. So two people get to choose both of those things. Planting the seeds of value determines the harvest of value. And for me, I'm believing that self-rejection is the main factor in turning off the energy flow that we call money. That self-rejection starves the financial field of this flow of energy so that prosperity and abundance are all stunted. It's kind of like a cornfield. You can see those in times of drought. Really spindly corn stalks, you go like, wow, those things are really, really hurting. They're hurting for the energy we call water. And in this case, in the financial field, we're talking about they're starved for acceptance. They're starved for this energy flow from the divine that we could direct in there if we didn't self-reject relative to money. Another way to look at this stunted field of prosperity and abundance is that self-rejection, again, is to me like self-poison. Spreading that poison all over the field, it's actually worse than a drought because not only does it harm that particular field, self-poisoning spreads to the other fields as well. So if there's poisoning of the money field, the financial field, then all of a sudden the ability to take care of one's family and social life and physical health and mental and emotional growth and so on are starting to be limited as well. In a nutshell, we can change our beliefs. We can change the seeds we are planting, the thoughts that we practice over and over again. And you know what? Our harvests change. Our harvest will be enough. So much so, and this is really the goal, so much so that we're going to want to share our harvests. We're going to want to share our awareness of how to grow larger harvest, more positive harvest, more loving harvest, these harvests that we now are accessing and experience, we're going to want to share our awareness of sowing and reaping with anybody and everybody who is interested or who will listen to these concepts as a way to ensure that their harvests are enough. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.